This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. We thank you so much for listening. Another terror attack in London early Monday morning. One man is dead and at least 10 are injured after a van ran into a crowd of worshippers near a London mosque where evening Ramadan prayers had just concluded. The man who died at the scene was already receiving first aid after falling down, and it's not believed by investigators, at least for now, that he died as a direct result of the attack. Nevertheless, a suspect has been arrested. Eyewitnesses say that a man was heard shouting, "I want to kill all Muslims," as his van drove into a crowd on the side of the street. Omar El Hamdoun is president of the Muslim Association of Britain.
This person, obviously in a calculated attack, he waited for people at night, which is when people go out to prayers, having broken their fast. They have completed their prayers and were making their way home. So it is quite upsetting for people, especially as we are coming to the end of Ramadan. It's a very, very heightened spiritual times for Muslims. And to have this happen at this time is obviously quite grieving for the people, the victims, first of all, and secondly, for the community who now is very much upset and saddened that something like this has happened.
It's the third attack in London since March where a vehicle was used as a deadly weapon of terror, and a stark copycat crime mirroring other attacks like the one on the London Bridge. Here's British Prime Minister Theresa May.
It was an attack that once again targeted the ordinary and the innocent going about their daily lives. This time, British Muslims, as they left a mosque having broken their fast, and prayed together at this sacred time of year.
Ambassador Akbar Ahmed is our friend and frequent guest. He joins me now for his perspective on these latest attacks. He's chair of Islamic Studies at American University in Washington, D.C., and the former Pakistani High Commissioner to the U.K. and Ireland. Ambassador, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. Great to be back.
I'm interested in your reaction and your perspective on this copycat attack on Muslims in London and what you're hearing from colleagues in the UK and here in the US.
Todd, first of all, of course, our prayers and sympathy for the victims and the innocent victims of these terrible tragedies. I don't just talk about this particular incident. Remember, it's coming as part of a series of terrible, terrible incidents taking place over the last few months. And of course, then we had the fire, which was just sheer negligence. And when you add it all up, the cumulative effect is of creating a great sense of vulnerability, of paranoia, anger, fear in the minorities, particularly the Muslims. Because when I say minorities, you're also seeing, along with the attacks on Muslims, a kind of targeting of the Jewish community. Here in the United States, we see the cemeteries and the Jewish centers being attacked. In Europe, a similar kind of process is taking place. And finally, Todd, I do want to mention that I've spent a lot of time in England. I was at Cambridge University, then the High Commissioner, as you mentioned. But very, very recently, I've concluded a major project studying the Muslim and the Jewish communities and their histories in Europe, including the UK. So you can say I'm a bit of an Anglophile. And for me to be seeing England in this condition really upsets me very much, because you just wonder, England needs its great leaders, its stable, wise leaders, its leadership. It needs a stable society. And I just see it as falling apart right now.
Akbar Ahmed, as terrible as it is, I have to say, you don't sound very surprised that something like this has happened.
I'm not entirely surprised, because during this project journey into Europe, and I was traveling with a group of very bright young American scholars, we were almost seeing and anticipating something like this because of the high levels of tension between the majority and the minority, the vitriol in the media against the Muslims. You had people like Nigel Farage actually saying Muslims are a fifth column. They are here to kill us. They want to kill us all. Now, when you create this kind of hatred against a minority, we've seen history tells us that the majority can then come down very brutally on the minority.
Is there a risk here that attacks like this, instead of being what seem like a series of relatively isolated attacks, spiral into terror and reprisal, community on community?
You know, Todd, that's a very important question, and I'm pondering that for some time now. I hope it isn't like that. People are more rational. But we are not talking of rational action anymore when people drive vans into mobs of worshippers. Something very irrational is happening in society, and you cannot imagine this in a society like English society, which has always been very balanced and very steady and very calm. So I'm really fearful as to what could happen if this kind of incident is repeated again and again and again. We interviewed, for example, people who actually said that we are in a state of war, and this war has to be fought to the end. It will end in either expulsion or complete extermination of the opposite side, which is, of course, the Muslims. So if this kind of rhetoric is translated into action, you will then see, unfortunately, a lot of tragedies and a lot of bloodshed. This is why the politicians have to work very closely with the community leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, and particularly the youth. The youth, the Muslim youth, must be cultivated, integrated, and brought into mainstream society so they provide a new local leadership to that community. For example, Muslims who are born in England, who are English in every way, forming a kind of leadership for the Muslim groups there, and American Muslims forming a kind of leadership for the American Muslim societies here.
Akbar Ahmed, before we let you go, this attack does come at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Can you give a sense of how an assault like this affects a Muslim community when they're at prayer?
When they're at prayer, Todd, this is a very special month for Muslims, and Muslims really prize this month because they take time off from their work to pray, to withdraw, to spend a lot of time in spiritual contemplation, meditation. They're constantly asked and urged to help the poor, the vulnerable. They go out, they do good deeds, and they really want to be left alone with God and the understanding of God. And when something like this happens, and happens again and again and again, you then have a situation where people are already hungry and are in a different state of mind than during normal days. And it is not difficult, I can see it's not difficult then to push the youth in a direction which could translate into a lot of anger, and even expressions of that anger which could just explode. So it's a month we have to be very sensitive about, because when human beings are fasting, and it's not taught like the fasts in other religions which are always taxing, but this is a fast from sunrise to sunset and for 30 days. And during the fasting, no food, no water, nothing. So it's really very trying. I know a lot of people who find it very difficult to maintain in these long, long days. So you can imagine the dismay, the anger, the anguish of people worshipping in a mosque who are suddenly being told that a van has driven into a group and has killed one of the worshippers and injured many. And they ask themselves, what did we do? What is wrong? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with the society in which we are living, in which we've come to take shelter, perhaps escaping the chaos and the murder and the violence back home in Syria and other places in the Muslim world?
Reckoning with the aftermath of yet another terror attack in London, this one on a group of Muslim worshippers on the street after Ramadan prayers. Ambassador Akbar Ahmed, thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you, Todd.
Ambassador Akbar Ahmed is chair of Islamic Studies at American University.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.